The information provided in this show is intended for your general knowledge only and is not intended to be, nor is it, medical advice or a substitute for medical advice. If you have or suspect you have a specific medical condition or disease, please consult your healthcare provider. What's up, health heroes? Tim James here, founder of ChemicalFreeBody.com and your host for the show that simplifies and demystifies how to live an energetic life with a flat belly. So if you're into a healthy gut and staying young, then this is the show for you.
What's up, health heroes? Tim James here with another exciting episode of Tim James Unleashed. Today, I've got a special guest in the house. His name is Reed Davis. Now, Reed, the reason why I want to have him on is because he actually has a functional diagnostic nutrition certification course in a community he leads. He's the founder of that. He's a board certified holistic health practitioner and a certified nutritional therapist. What I like about him, he's kind of bootstrapped himself into this whole thing, kind of like I did. And so we're going to go into his backstory. We're going to get into the importance of testing, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about the gut-brain connection, because it always bears repeating. You know, when you're overweight, when your skin's messed up, if you have mental fog, the journey, it's always an inside journey. All of our problems are inside, spiritually, emotionally, physically. It's always an inside deal. Reed, thank you so much, sir, for coming on the show today.
It's a real pleasure to be here, and thanks for having me, Tim.
My pleasure. So Reed's down in sunny San Diego. He's got a nice tan, so he's getting his vitamin D. Unlike me, I'm up here above the 45th parallel. I got to get down to your neck of the woods and get some sunshine.
Come on down.
All right. So why did you get into this and become a health practitioner and then start this whole training thing and helping other people doing what you were doing?
Yeah, thanks for asking. You know, I became an expert in functional lab work as it applies to all natural drug-free remedies, you might say, or protocols, because I wanted to help people. And I had just gotten a new job in a clinic. I was supposed to run the clinic and help them grow and things. But let me start with this. And I actually started in environmental law and conservation. I was saving the whole planet, air, birds, water, trees, bees. So I'd always been a do-gooder and wanting to, you know, help and trying to make a difference in the world. And around 1999, Tim, I started thinking about people. What about people? You know, when you see enough dead fish and birds and things and vernal pools, you know, going extinct or whatever, you know, you start to think about people. Plus, I was getting older. And so I didn't have any health problems, but I didn't want to get any. I didn't want anything sneaking up on me. And I thought, man, this is what happens to people. This stuff sneaks up on you. And next thing you know, oh, I've got this or got that, as if it had happened overnight, as if you caught it at the grocery store or whatever it is. And so I changed jobs. I went to this clinic, and it was an alternative wellness clinic in Southern California. I'm not sure what images that brings about, but it was a real straightforward business of helping people. And we had chiropractic and acupuncture and nutrition and all these different modalities and things. And the owner, this is amazing, that within a week of working there, the owner said, "Hey, Reed, you know, you seem really interested. And, you know, I'm going to start my diplomat program in nutrition. If you come along, you'll get a certificate in nutrition and you can work on our patients in between your classes." Now, nobody gets that opportunity. So I jumped on it and I just immediately started taking my classes and working with the patients in the office. And I fell in love with the clinical side of the practice. I mean, just fell in love with, oh boy, I get to help Mrs. Smith or Mr. Jones, whoever's in the office in front of me, I'm going to help them. And I just thought I was so smart. Because I was taking this nutrition class. Oh my God. Sometimes even now, 25 years later, I'm wondering, what do I really know? You know, but no, we figured out a lot of things. So I had a lot to learn. I had nothing to unlearn. You know, I just was open. But how do you help these? And these people were coming in with every kind of problem you can imagine, completely frustrated, because they'd already been to 6 or 8 or 10 different practitioners and weren't better yet.
You know, this was 25 years ago. Now they've been to 30.
So 25 years ago, yeah, it's worse now. It's actually worse now.
I know.
You know, so people are coming in for alternative. Remember, they're in a different place, hoping that something would be different. And I heard the horror stories of 6, 8, 10, 12 practitioners been to, spent thousands of dollars and weren't better yet. And I just kept thinking, because I never really been to the doctor, well, either they're assholes, pardon me, or this person's going to the wrong shop, you know, for help. Like, you're not going to get help in that system. If 6 or 8 or 10 of them couldn't help you, then maybe you're looking in the wrong place. And it also occurred to me, I mean, a lot of things, I because I live in Southern California, as you mentioned, you probably could gather, I also ride a motorcycle, which I do a lot. And I'd be out riding my bike, thinking about the people back at the office, just wondering, why are they putting their health in someone else's hands? Number one. And really, the main number two would be, I'm going to be the last person they need to see. And I'm going to be, as you like to call it, the health hero.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm an OG when it comes to that, you know, and that means old guy, right? So I had that thought all those years ago. First of all, what a wonderful opportunity to help people. I could definitely be successful. You know, I think creating a business around it, and I just knew there was all this opportunity there. But I just also had to depend on some luck in that the people around that office, the things that were happening within the pioneers of functional medicine. We didn't use that term back then. We were just alternative medicine. And it kind of turned into complementary medicine and integrative medicine and finally functional medicine. I want to assure you of a couple of things. One is it still hasn't evolved. Functional medicine is nowhere near what it could be doing. Not even, it's like, you know, a drop in a bucket as to what it could be doing. And it's because of the system that those doctors are all still in. The insurance and the, you know, the billing and the diagnosis and treatment codes and the algorithms that they have to deal with to get paid on a regular basis. And so there's still a lot wrong with it. But we were doing the labs that are now considered functional laboratory. They were experimental. Some of them are even still considered to be experimental. Like, why won't insurance pay for this? Oh, that's experimental. Well, how long does it take? We've been experimenting with some of these tests for 25 years and getting amazing results. But insurance doesn't cover it, so physicians and even functional medicine practitioners, at least if they're taking insurance, they aren't running them either. So
what is that? Do you think that's they're hand picking which ones to approve and not approve? Like, well, we'll give them a little bit. Well, let's not approve these because these actually could really help people, and then we'll lose our client base.
No, if you're willing to pay cash, you can go find good functional medicine doctors, but you better be ready to choke up some serious dough because insurance isn't going to cover it. And yeah, Labs aren't free. I think they're really reasonably priced for what you get. And then the doctor's going to charge his fees, whatever it costs him or her to run their clinic, have their staff and their equipment and their leases and their all the stuff that they have to do to have an office, because they still need to see you in person.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to just tell you is that from that day forward, when I was out riding my bike and decided to be the last practitioner someone had to see, I spent the next 10 years running thousands of labs on thousands of people. I remember I said a little luck involved, because thank God I could run those labs. I had the doctors willing to let me do anything I wanted there. You know, like, I wasn't practicing medicine. They made sure of that. You're only allowed to use the labs to tell you what's really wrong with the person. And I thought, wow, what a concept. How come only I, the only person in here not a doctor, am the only one allowed to use tests that really tell you what's really wrong? That doesn't make any sense. It's the opposite of how it should be. So while physicians were still running your CBC chem panels and metabolic panels and things, which is your standard blood work, and telling people there's nothing wrong with you, you know, and this was one of the biggest complaints, I feel like shit all the time, like all the time, and this and that, and this and that, and this and that. My doctor says my blood work looks normal. Well, let's not use that word, that kind of lab work. Let's look at some functional lab work that would tell us what's out of balance. Even when it comes to things that doctors test, like the hormones, the immune system, digestion, and detoxification, we're looking at a different set of data that tells us where you can make improvements. So there's no diagnosis in that. There's no medical diagnosis. I've never given one. Not a doctor, not allowed to, and don't care about it because I found a better way. I found something that actually works. Look at what's wrong. And so over those 10 years, I ran thousands of labs and I started recognizing these patterns. Oh, D, regardless of whether Mrs. Smith has fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue or irritable bowel or, the hives or something, migraine headaches and you name it. We look at hormone, immune, digestion, detoxification, energy production, nervous system. You can look at those areas, maybe plus oxidative stress, and see where they've lived themselves into a condition where all kinds of things are out of balance. It's also where I started, this is on the topic of I gave up on the term root cause. Now that's heresy in functional medicine. Finally, physicians are saying, we look for the root cause, we look for the root cause. Well, I have news for you. You're never going to find one. Everybody has multiple causal factors. And these causal factors aren't in silos. They're working on each other. They have an effect on each other. And that's not even singly measurable in some cases, in most cases. And that's coming from a guy who I now just teach a course in lab work. I teach a course in lab work because that's the secret. And what I discovered was this pattern. I just gave it to you, HIDDEN, hidden. And most of it's hidden. Most people aren't even looking for this stuff, but it's hormone, immune, digestion, detoxification, energy production, and nervous system imbalances and dysfunctions. And when you recognize, see those things in a person, two things sort of magically appear. One is understanding, finally, a person, wow, I can't believe you found out all this stuff about me, and it's exactly how I feel. So they've been told, like, you don't have a problem. You must be crazy, or here's your chill pill, or here's your diagnosis. I found it's what I thought it was. It's hypothyroidism. I thought, pat myself on the back type physicians who use what's called the sounds like method. Sounds like this, run that test. God forbid they find it and think they're the hero, because they identified one malfunction, one thing that's out of one measurement that they could give a dosage for and improve it. That's not fixing people. That doesn't help them in the long run. That just keeps them tied down to a cycle of trial and error, one diagnosis after the next. I think the average American at past 60 is on five or eight medications or
Yeah, it's about
something like
that.
that, some nutty, crappy thing like that. Why? Because everyone's putting those things in silos. So I won't wrap it up, but what I'll say is that, man, when you run that many tests, I had great training from the lab guys, these nerds, and some physicians, wonderful pioneers who took a lot of risk working with me, letting me run labs. But my own observations, just with Mrs. Smith and Mr. Jones in the office, face to face, clinically correlating all of their symptoms, all of their aches and pains and owies and things with the lab work. And it explains everything pretty much. And that's one sort of thing that you would figure is that, or maybe you wouldn't, but that people actually started feeling like they were onto something, like, oh boy, maybe I could take control of my own health, which was my goal in the first place. If you remember, one of the first questions I asked myself was, why are they putting their health in someone else's hands? That's kind of stupid, actually. And so I gave them the data that they needed to take control. Now, what to do about those things, those markers that are off from our point of view, that's a separate story. That's the protocols. That's the here's what you can do about it. And that developed, I'll finish with this on this topic, the sort of introduction, that I noticed people come in the office for their chiropractic and acupuncture, and I'd say, "Well, Mrs. Smith, you're doing fantastic. You're coming in 3 times a week." "Yes, Reed, I'm really dedicated to getting better." I say, "That's wonderful, Mrs. Smith. What are you doing at home to complement, or, you know, to so that you can really take control? Because once you start doing all of those things, then I think you could probably not come in so often or at all." "Really? Okay, like what?" So that thought process led to my DRESS, diet, rest, exercise, stress reduction, supplementation. That's the epigenetic program, which is, you know, the program that influences your health. That's the program that fixes everything, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every system. The entire organism benefits from a dress for health success program when it's kind of massaged by the lab data. So the lab data provides what's wrong and motivation for the person.
Yeah.
And then the dress protocol just simply works. It just
let me ask you a question real quick. And I just have to peek because somebody drove up.
Sure. Not okay, the cops,
it's,
is it?
It's my dad's buddy. So I have to check. I'm watching my dad now. Like I told you, my mom passed. And
yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm their caretakers. And when people drive by me, I know they're here. So I got to check on them. Make sure
they're
messing with my dad. Okay. So I was just telling you about how before pre-podcast about how important it was for me to get live blood cell microscopy when I first got my introduction into nature and, you know, healing naturally and living foods and detoxification and colon hydrotherapy and ozone, all this stuff, right? And they showed me, they prick your finger and they take a little blood, they put it in a slide and they slide it in there and you can see your blood. Now, up above you was a picture of healthy cells on a, you know, laminated, and then to the right of that, it says healthy cells, and then unhealthy cells, laminated. Guess what mine looked like? They looked more like the unhealthy cells. That's when I got it, and I realized the blood doesn't lie. My cells are a mess. I'm a mess. That's why I feel like crap. That's why I'm overweight. That's why I have skin issues. That's why, you know, I have all these freaking problems. That's why I had to go get life flighted to get an emergency surgery when I was on vacation in Peru. So I'm like, okay, diagnostics help. Right. So when you're running labs on somebody, what are they? What labs? What are the labs that you run? Are you running parasites, heavy metals, allergies? What panels do you run?
So, you know, as I said, it follows the pattern of hormone, immune, digestion, detoxification. So we're using a salivary hormone test that looks at the catabolic and anabolic balance. So salivary hormones, which would also include the sex hormones. It also includes the hormone melatonin, taken from the noon sample. And then we could also, with the same salivary sample, check out some of the immune system, secretory IgA being the main ingredient there, because it's most of your immune system working for you in the gut. So we do a salivary test of hormones peeking into immune. We do a dried urine test of the, it's called Indican and 8-OHDG. Won't tell you what that means, but it's an oxidative stress marker. And believe it or not, liver function, because without a healthy liver, you're not going to be healthy. So we call it a metabolic wellness panel. And so that's, both are really easy to do at home. And you're getting critical data about the hormones, again, catabolic, anabolic balance, peeking into the immune system. Then as you start looking into the metabolic wellness panel through the urine, you're getting indican, which tells you if you have a dysbiosis. Now, if you have a dysbiosis, that makes sense because you're under all this stress and your secretory IgA goes down, and now your good to bad flora goes out of balance, and it just gets worse from there. So we're looking at all these markers. So as stress comes along and the dominoes start to fall, we have learned to track all of that stuff. I guess that's my contribution. We call it FDN, or functional diagnostic nutrition. So this is something that, again, I sweated it out for 10 years. so that you don't have to.
If I'm at home and I'm like, I want to order all these labs, what's the cost of all that? It's the investment.
Well, you know, depends how you look at that compared to the cost of staying sick. It's cheap. But yeah, you know, I think everyone should spend $1,000 on laboratory work. You
okay.
know, honestly, yeah. And I know that's hard. And do you have to do it all at once? You should.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a matter of how one runs their practice as to how lenient they'll be with their clients or patients. Now, me, I'm a tough guy. You bite the bullet, you find a way, and you get it all done. You know, you
sell your couch, whatever you need. It's your life you're talking about here.
Yeah, it's like compared to being sick, it doesn't cost it's nothing. And I everyone, you could spend more, but if you ran those two tests I just talked about, plus a mucosal barrier assessment, which is just a finger stick test, so you can prick your finger, you put it in hot water, what you have to do, you squeeze it up. You can prick your finger. You see how red it turns there?
Yeah.
And man, you'll drip out a bunch of blood onto a blotter, you know, and you'll put a band-aid on it, whatever. And then you let the blotter dry and send that into the lab. So it's a dried blood spot test for zonulin, histamine, and what's called diamine oxidase, or DAO, which needs to be in the right ratio with the histamine. It tells us a lot about your health, your gut. Is it a leaky gut? And along with the person, you know, because it's not in isolation, it's attached to what the most important question about any lab test is, whose test is this? That's what matters most. Well, whose test is this? What does it tell us about them, the way they're presenting and getting along and things? So I have my own way of, and now it's a way that I've trained 4,000 people. We have a very extensive alumni and graduate community who practice this out in the world, doing a lot of good, and they're available for help. When you say, hey, can anyone do this? Pretty much. You know, it can be done distance, which is another thing I noticed is easy in our world, because 25 years ago and 20 years ago, I was lecturing all around San Diego and Southern California. I started driving farther and farther away to give lectures, mostly libraries, but other places. And I'll be damned. I realized real soon, look, I could just mail you your test results, save you the office visit fee. That's a good one. And then just go over it with you on the phone. And so that's where distance coaching, I think, started. I hadn't heard of it up till then. And I would have mostly women were my customers, and I'd have their husbands listen in. This is back in the days of, look, I did really well with a pager and a fax machine. I didn't need the internet. I didn't need, you know, cell phones and all this stuff that we have now. It's amazing what you could do in business now. And ours has grown because of that. But what I'm telling you is you can help people, you know, sort of just running the labs and getting to know them and giving them things to do and having some kind of accountability program, which we do have. So besides the, I said, salivary hormones, you got your urinary metabolic wellness panel, which looks at dysbiosis, liver congestion, and oxidative stress. Amazing markers. And then you have this mucosal barrier assessment for leaky gut and dysfunction in the gut and so on. And then we have also, you mentioned the parasite testing. Yeah, I do those, but I don't rely on them to be a hero, health hero. Because guess what? If someone has parasites, why do they have parasites? Why didn't their body defend them? Were they just a good host for parasites? And if you see it's recurrent and you see it's getting bad, things like that, then yeah, the problem isn't the bug. So when people say, you give them your complaints, you tell them you've got this and that and this and that. Oh, it sounds like a parasite. God forbid they find a parasite. I found your problem. No, you didn't. You found a parasite. You go ahead, kill the parasite, then see how that person's doing. Now, they might improve a little bit, but the same thing that got them in that situation in health in the first place probably remains the same.
Lifestyle.
Which is why I say the bug isn't the problem. It's the result of the problem. We all know, everyone accepts now that symptoms aren't the problem. Well, I have headaches. Well, they're not from an aspirin deficiency. You know, you have headaches for a reason. You have a sensitivity to something, or you know, something's triggering it, or whether it be mental, emotional, or chemical, or whatever it might be. So the idea is that everything has a causal factor, or two, or three, or five, and you can't just think, you know, that you're going to find things so easily. Sounds like a parasite. I love that one. Sounds like thyroid. That one's really easy to explain. So I'll give you an example of how this works in practice, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm in the office 20 years ago, and a lady's coming in, Tim, for like chiropractic and some massage and stuff. And she wasn't my client yet. So I'm walking her back though to the treatment room. And our chiropractic patients would get like about 5 minutes of myofascial therapy, kind of a trigger point release kind of a thing, you know, and then a heat pack. And they'd be all warmed up and ready for the doctor to come in and do her adjustment. So she would come in and adjust after that. Now I'm walking this lady back, and she was really down looking, like sad. And hey, what's wrong? Me, I'm just always happy. And so it's kind of a pain in the ass when you're trying to tell your sad story. But all right, she wasn't going to be denied that day. She was going to get it all out. So she says, I'm just so disgusted and unhappy with this extra weight, Reed. You know, look at me. I'm 40 pounds over the weight, and it's just really disturbing and frustrating. And, you know, I'm about to say something. And Reed, I just am so frustrated. I went to the doctor the other day, and because I'm on this medication for the hives. And the hives, you know, are really bad. And so I take this medication too, so I don't get them. And that makes me gain weight. I'm like, okay. And she says, so I was at the doctor for a checkup the other day, and I told him how frustrating it was. And he said, lady, you can have the hives or you can be fat. Take your pick. According to her, which sounds harsh, but okay. And she said, well, doctor, that's very depressing. And he said, fill in the blank. I'll be happy to write you a prescription for antidepressants. And so you can imagine, Tim, when I said, well, first name, why didn't you ever try to find out why you get the hives? It was like, you know, the lights went on and just her head came up. Matter of fact, her head snapped around so hard, I didn't think she'd need her chiropractic treatment that day. It was like, what? What do you mean, find out why I get the hive? What a concept. Yeah, what a concept. You know, and this physician was ready to write her a prescription for antidepressants because being fat because of the medication he had her on was making her depressed. And long story short, I sent her home with a couple of test kits, changed her diet and lifestyle, not even all that much, but just enough so that 9 days after she started my protocol, she became my client. And 9 days later, called her doctor and said, I'm not taking this medication anymore. I found out why I get the hives. And so that's been the foundation of my career, really, is running labs that would tell people why they feel so lousy. And that drugs aren't the answer, at least not all the time. And that you can do something about it yourself. You could take charge of your a lot of things, it'll get well. And so I have so many stories like that, Tim. I could spend all afternoon telling you about them. Kids, adults, teenagers, real
Well,
old.
let's go through a couple of these stories. I got a ton of questions, but the stories are important. Like, what about, let's say you had somebody come to you. What's something that's very common is, well, let's say women. Okay, women, especially ones that
Yeah,
have
they're
had
very common.
hysterectomies, and then they went, and they're on hormone replacement therapy. Would speak to that as far as like, some of them haven't had the surgeries yet. What they might want to think about doing, the ones that have maybe they're on bioidentical hormones, but they haven't had the surgery yet, or now the ones that have had the surgery and they're on bioidentical hormones.
Okay, gotcha. So just for note, you know, I was there in the clinic working, doing this work when in 2001, the National Institute of Health Women's Health Initiative, which was a study of thousands of women, taking Premarin, which was the most popular estrogen of the time. It was an 8-year study. And guess what? After 5 years, they stopped the study, realizing that we don't have to finish the study. Three more years, screw this. Women are getting sick on this. It's worse to be on the medication than not on the medication. So they just stopped the study. So
Premarin, wasn't that from like horses or something?
Yeah, it means pregnant mare urine. Premarin. Yeah. That's where
Premarin, horse urine. Okay.
Yeah, so they would keep these horses knocked up so that they could extract their
So that's synthetic right there.
Yeah, you think it's not human anyway, right?
Who knows what the hell they're feeding the horses too? Probably GMO.
Hey, you could go down a lot of rabbit holes on that one.
Oh, the inputs matter. The inputs matter.
Yeah. Hey, it's horse pee. Okay, but isn't that well, at least it was a well-fed horse. Maybe it was happy too.
Yeah.
And it was pregnant after all, they tend to be a little happier. My God, I'm right there and this is happening. And what are women going to do? Because millions of them immediately got off Premarin. Hey, this is going to give you heart disease. And so maybe to make your bones a little better. My mom is 93, still says, I have great bones. So she was on HRT for all those years, for years and years. She still kept taking it because the doctor's only fallback position was, well, take less of it for a shorter period of time. And that's when all of the compounding pharmacies sprung up everywhere, making natural hormone replacement therapy, what they called bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. So that was 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5. Those years were a boom time for people willing to do the bioidentical hormone replacement. And now pretty much that's everywhere.
And bioidentical means, AKA code word, synthetic.
No, it means that it's bioidentical. It means it's the exact same cell structure, regardless of where it was made.
Okay? Right.
So you can, as long as it's the exact same, your body doesn't know the difference. So when they say bioidentical, yeah, they might have made it out of some plant root, but they made it in a factory or laboratory exactly to match. So it matches. I would have no problem taking it if I needed it. So
yeah, I would want to make sure that it was plant-based, probably. Just like when vitamin C, I don't get vitamin C IVs unless I know it was made of, cassava root. I don't want it to be ascorbic acid.
Well, I understand. I get vitamin C infusions and things. And the doctors I work with are very conscientious and stuff. I didn't ask them that. Hey, is this made from cassava root or what? But you could also just watch your diet real well. But I was just prefacing your question about menopause and this stuff with that beginning, like right there when it just all of a sudden became really obvious that synthetics aren't the way to go. But then women didn't know what to do. So these compounding pharmacies blew up and go that way, small doses for a shorter period of time. And that was kind of the given. So now it's gotten more complex. COVID came along and the so-called prevention of COVID, human experiment. So it's really ruined things. I mean, you think it was bad back then just because they took a drug. They didn't take the drug off the market, but because it was, poo-pooed off the market. Now with the women are having serious, serious bleeding and missed periods and heavy periods for 3 months without stopping. And they're becoming anemic. So they have ferritin issues. They can't get enough. You're having to supplement with that. And then, of course, early menopause. And that means no more babies, And it's just really, I won't say ruining because you got to be able to handle things. But yeah, you make life really, really tougher than it already is.
Have you worked with many kids in this thing? Because I know like a lot of the young women, used to before, all these chemicals and hormones are in the water and all that stuff, have their period, start beginning their menstrual cycle around 17, 18, 19. And now it's like 6. 6 years old.
It's not funny, but you know, I was going to say, okay, like 8, 12, 10. But yeah, it's really earlier now. And there's the idea of these phytoestrogens and just fake estrogens that are in the environment. There's no doubt about that.
Scary. I feel so bad for these kids. And, you know, and I brought this up multiple times here on the show. It's like I was just a couple years ago, I was down the river. I look over and I looked away and I registered. I just saw a woman, a young girl, standing in the river with her breasts out. And I'm like, you know, probably 13, 14 or something like that. And then I turned back around and looked, and then I was like, oh, it's a guy.
Oh my God.
You know, so he literally had breasts. So it's affecting our children. It's affecting everybody. Okay. It's then and everybody, the fish and everybody. Okay. It's everything, birds, everything's being affected by these environmental microplastics and pollutions and PFAS and blah, blah, blah. Glyphosate, 72% of rainwater. So we've got major hormone disruption at all ages. And so I guess keep talking about what you're talking about, because I asked you a 3-part question.
Sure.
And now I'm talking about kids, but it's all interconnected.
Well, I love talking about kids because I raised 4 and I was a football coach for 15 years. So I love kids and I have helped a lot of kids. These are youth football. I coached high school as well, but mostly youth, a little younger. And yeah, I help kids. I mean, a lady asked me in the office, I've been working with her. She was feeling pretty happy. And on the way out the door one day, she said, Reed, do you work with kids? I go, what I just told you. I said, four, you know, and I'm, they're pretty healthy and I'm football coach. And yeah, why? What's the problem? Oh, they want to send my kid home if I don't put him on drugs. They want to send my kid home by the way, he was 9 years old. I thought he was some gang member with a knife in school or something.
Yeah.
Like, no, he was 9 years old and he was just poking the other kids. He just liked to poke the other kids and he'd rather pay attention to something else than the teacher. I'm sure the teacher wasn't very interesting anyway, but I'm just kidding, folks, teachers. But, you know, you know what, if a teacher doesn't really believe in what they're saying, kids know it.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't matter what profession it is, whether you're a teacher, you're a contractor, fisher. It doesn't matter. 95% of people probably shouldn't be in that industry that they're in. They suck. Okay.
No, just say what you mean, Tim.
Yeah, they suck. So if you took offense to it, then go look in the mirror. You probably have. It's probably you.
Well, these teachers and the principal called this lady and says, if you don't put them on Ritalin or something, we're going to have to kick him out of school. He's poking the other kids. He's outbursting in class. Anyway, I'll just say, yeah, I don't know if I could help or not. Run some labs, change the kid's lifestyle, his diet, his bedtime, his homework schedule, and different things. We coached her up pretty well on how to go home and handle this thing. I never even met the young man, but 9 years old, I could just imagine the, you know, here's your kid and here's your kid on drugs, you know.
Or mac and cheese. Did you get him off of mac and cheese and chicken strips?
Got him off his mac and cheese, and breakfast cereal is the worst one. I'll tell you about that one in a sec. But this principal of the school tracked me down after just 3 weeks of therapy, if you want to call it that. Said, hey, Mr. Davis, I got your name from Mrs. Smith, whoever, you know, and I just want to tell you, this is a different kid. He's paying attention. He's getting good grades. He's participating thoughtfully and productively in class. And he just seems like a different young man. And I'm all this is sort of, you know, my ego is just going like, oh yeah, I know that's what we do around here, you know? And then he says, what'd you put him on? Which just totally deflated my whole game, you know, like, sir, you know, we didn't put him on anything. Well, except maybe a really good diet, a better bedtime and homework schedule and things. And he didn't want to hear it. He wanted to know, you know.
Oh, I was almost to the point where I was like, wow, that might have been a 5% principal because he actually took the time to reach out to you. But no, yeah. he was trying to verify that the drugs worked.
He wanted to know.
Probably because his kids needed it too.
Well, and he had realistically, listen, I knew another principal, a principal of five charter schools. Each day of the week, she'd go to a different school. And she was a patient of ours. She was coming in, and she was a wonderful lady, very thoughtful and caring. And, charter schools are a little different, but she said, we were talking about this, and she said, Reed, I started sitting in on parent-teacher conferences when there was a discipline issue. And I would listen to the teacher and the parent and the kid. And I just started asking the kid, what do you have for breakfast? And what percentage do you think said, and they didn't say it in this words, but shitty breakfast cereal? What percent?
95%, 98%.
100%.
Yeah.
100% were eating shit for breakfast. Pardon me. But, that was the deal. And so just all these things matter. And it can't be about convenience and stuff. So you asked about kids.
Yeah, let's talk about the box of shit that they have for breakfast. The
Oh, a sugar with its.
chem box of chemicals, and it's one thing that gets
So
me really upset.
one of our tests for foods. So I think it's the most sophisticated advanced test that you could do to screen out for foods you're sensitive to. Screen out the foods you're sensitive to. So what else it would do is identify foods you're not sensitive to, because it tests for 176 foods. It's a lot of foods. No one eats
Is
that.
this part of the $1,000 deal?
Oh yeah,
Oh,
yeah.
that's smart. That's smart. Great.
I might have been squirming a bit on the 1,000. Eh? So what if I'm at 1,200? But
Yeah. It's going to cost you that much to take your truck in to get a diagnostic check, and then they're going to say, "Oh, we can't find anything wrong." And I'm like, "Well, maybe it's the air suspension system doesn't go up and down, so maybe it's broke. That's why I brought it in here for." It's the same thing, dude. Everything's expensive.
yeah. Hey, new struts, shocks, and tires on my 2010 Ford F-150 was $2,800.
Yeah, that's about what my dad paid for his 71 Ford. Brand new.
Yeah. This thing's got 135,000 on it. It runs like a champ. I could drive it into town. It's got no dings or nothing in it. It's nice. Anyway, so the money, if it's ridiculous to think about the money. And for kids, people are a little more willing to invest in their kids' health. You hate to see your kids suffer.
Yeah.
And so, that food sensitivity test looks at all these foods, and they're categorized, all the grains and all the fruits and vegetables and the meats. And but it also has on there the oils and seeds and different things. And it has in there condiments and food additives. And you could see now, FD&C number three is not good for anybody. There's nobody that should be eating red food dye. But some people have an extra sensitivity to it. So a doctor friend of mine who lives in Australia, you can't get this test in Australia. It's America only, just because of the shipping for the most part. But he was here, visited with me last month, and I had a test kit ready for him. Went and got a blood draw. Turns out, and I got his test results right here on my computer screen if I wanted to. He was sensitive to a couple food colorings. And so when I sent him his test results, I said, hey, I'm sure you're going to miss that FD&C number three.
So much for Paw's Easter eggs.
Number three, red, and he laughed, he goes, yeah. So the food sensitivity test not only tells you what not to eat. I have a little printout here. They give you a little card. I just photocopied it that I have on my desk. And they're color coded. The only thing that was red on me, I just printed it black and white, but was cow's milk. And it's got all these other things that would be in yellow. And then there's all the green things. Well, that's not that many sensitivities right there. That tells me that there's 160 foods that I can eat. So when people run a food sensitivity test, you could look at it from the cup is half full or the cup is half empty. If you only look at, oh, I can't eat this, and oh, I can't have my, I had to cut out caffeine, chicken, cinnamon, cocoa, corn. You think I miss corn? I don't miss corn. That's for pigs, is what I figure. We feed that to our
Yeah.
pigs here and cattle, you know. So anyway, grapes, you know, I don't drink wine either. So a few other things in there, but it's go look at the list of what you can have, and that's what you buy at the grocery store, and you eat sensitivity free. You lower the amount of sensitivities, you lower the amount of inflammation in your body, and you pretty much improve your health overall. It's not a treatment for anything specifically. Although I've had people take that test and never have another migraine as long as they avoided the bad foods.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that hives lady, the lady with the hives, you know, I'm sure it was getting off those eggs. I'm sure those eggs were doing most of the damage. And other people with migraines. I had a kid on my football team who his mom comes to me, and I'm a nice guy. I'm really love the kids, and I'm not mean. But I have to pretend I'm mean, you know, to be a football coach.
Right.
So she comes to me, Coach Davis. I was just wondering if, you know, is it okay if Billy doesn't come to practice, but would it be okay? Could he still play on Saturday? I said, well, no, he can't play on Saturday if he doesn't practice. Well, I just, why not? I go, well, he won't know the plays. It's a safety thing. And it's true. We put in new plays every week. That's why we practice. We got a new. We've scouted our opponents and things. So you got to be there for practice. Why can't he come to practice? Well, he's embarrassed because he has an inhaler, and you know, he gets the asthma attacks. So, well, did you ever try to test him and find out why he gets asthma attacks? She said, "Well, no, I didn't think you could. The doctor said just use the inhaler." Long story short, again, just run some labs, find out what he's sensitive to, get those off the frickin' plate, literally and figuratively. And guess what? This kid never had another asthma attack. After about a week, never had another, you know, he had kept thinking he was having one, but he
Right.
didn't have one, you know. And he turned out to be a fine young athlete. You know, I still get, when I see his parents at the gas station or something like that, they still thank me 20 years later. I'd like to see that kid now. He's probably, you know, a lieutenant colonel in the military by now or something like that. But
That's awesome.
yeah, just, I mean, so many stories like that. And these people will pay you for that too, by the way. You make a really good living doing this. If you know how to charge, and I know how to charge, you don't give it away. You don't rip anyone off, but you don't give it away, and people will line up to put money in your pocket to do it.
Yeah, they're just looking for guidance. So what about guys coming in with prostate issues? Let's say their PSA levels are high. Typically, that's like, oh shit, you've got cancer, biopsy, and if it was cancer, we'll spread it all over the place. And then again, the hormone therapy, they nick things and then things don't work. And what's been your process for
Try like hell to avoid it.
that? Yeah.
Hey, I'm 70, man. Like there's a huge percentage of my, and I've had to deal with mild benign prostatic hypertrophy. So that's something that starts to make you pee more often, you know, which, and you can manage that with a really good diet, low oxalate diet, and there's things that are specifically known that will help the prostate. Everyone knows about you know, pumpkin seeds and all these different things. And yeah, you should do all that, and you should keep your eye on it. If your BPA is high on top of that, that's a slightly different story. You should get some things checked out, including everything from kidney stones. There's such a thing as bladder stones. I never knew that before. There's bladder stones. And again, there's which way do you want to go? There's drugs and there's natural remedies, which are take lots longer to work, and you have to do them religiously. Now, I was just talking to a medical doctor yesterday about this very thing, and she told me, this is a medical doctor, told me that her best remedy was to take a organic watermelon, those little ones, wash it, chop it up, put it in a blender, and absolutely make mush out of it, so that you could just about drink it. But add, she said, a whole big bottle of Coca-Cola, which, you know, I w isn't for me. But I said,
Right.
what's that for, the phosphoric acid? She goes, yeah, you need the phosphoric acid to change the pH and to, so you can get the phosphoric acid. There's a product by Standard Process called Phosfood, and there's a bunch of other ways to get the phosphoric acid into it, and just drink that and just continue. But so you know you can do that and see to what effect, and
Is that for inflammation or the pee problems? Or
it's
both?
for, well, the pee problem is from the pressure on your bladder from the prostate, and it's I can tell you from personal experience, it's very annoying. And so I'm just now sort of discovering this. I didn't have any patients back in the day where that was their specific problem, but I know that we saved a lot of people, or at least extended the aging process in a lot of these people. So the whole anti-aging thing. Now I'm going to see a doctor now in Salt Lake City, Utah, who's put me in all kinds of weird stuff, peptides and things. So I'm just learning the anti-aging thing. What at the end, what I train people on is more that your everyday lifestyle based problems that haven't turned into medical problems yet. And that was always my big complaint, I guess, against physicians saying, well, no, this is not really a problem. And I would say, yeah, not yet. Like blood sugar, uric acid, there's all these markers to that indicate you're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Those kind of markers you want to be looking at, high sensitivity, C-reactive protein. You've got all these tests you could do that aren't a problem, but if they're going south, need to know about it. That means you should get checked regularly, and not once every few years. Even once a year might not be enough for some people. So I want to answer your question about prostate a little better. It's a tough one that I'm just learning about. I guess, anti-aging is a very popular thing these days. And with the environment, the way it's not getting any better, I will say this, because remember, I was in the environment a lot. We did clean up some rivers and lakes. We sued the shit out of the government, even the military, for what they were doing. And some big companies. And they can't do what they were getting away with anymore. So there's fish back in Lake Erie, for instance. I mean, like it's now the walleye capital of the world, Lake Erie. And it was a dead lake back in the 60s. Cuyahoga River, which flows into Lake Erie, caught on fire. The river's on fire. It was so polluted that it just caught on fire. And it's a famous thing. You
Jeez.
look up in
That
River.
actually is funny. Well, it's not funny, but I've years ago I remember seeing we were talking about how bad tap water was, and this person like ran their tap water and lit it, and it was sitting there kind of flaming as the tap water was coming on. This
Yeah.
there's kids are drinking this shit, and like I talk about that. What was that guy's name? He was a chiropractor. He did a talk, and that's when I learned about all the fish dying in the 1970s in Lake Erie, I believe. And they were
A lot of
dying,
lakes, a lot of rivers.
going up onto the shore and dying. Fish were swooping down, eating them, and then they were having thin eggs. And the birds were or the birds were swim, you
Yeah.
know, flying down,
Right.
eating the dead, contaminated fish. And then the birds had thin eggs, and they were dying. And so he was like, so he goes, do you think in a million? He goes, what do you think that the biologists were thinking about this whole situation? What's in the water that's causing the fish to die? And everybody was kind of in the audience was like, oh yeah, of course, duh, of course. He goes, do you think in a million years they would have thought, oh shit, the fish are dying. Let's set up hospital beds all the way around the lake and start giving all the fish that are still alive. We'll catch them. We'll give them chemotherapy. And he goes,
Yeah.
now as silly as that sounds, he goes, that's what we're doing to us ourselves. It's
Yeah.
like we're not getting to the multifaceted root problems, the stress, the hormone, the microplastics, all this stuff, right? The deficiency in nutrients and the toxins that are accumulating. So
Well,
anyways.
you hit the nail on the head. And I like talking about certain specifics that I have a lot of experience with. And there's but generally where I've had the most success is in the general approach. Like if the fish tank is dirty, clean the tank. And all the extra nutrition that you could put in there, and like you said, hook the fish up to little thingies, whatever, you know, some silly concept like that. No, clean the fish tank. And we have a very dirty fish tank in this world. Again, I studied it pretty well back in the 90s and was a practicing paralegal in the environmental field and recycling and things. We did a lot of good, but I was able to take those skills of research and writing and such and transfer it to working with people. And again, I had a lot to learn, but not a lot to unlearn. You know, the one book, I still have it. I could grab it right there and show it to you. I got it when I was 19, called Healing Ourselves by Noboru Muramoto. It's literally on a shelf right there. Right. Healing Ourselves by Noboru Muramoto. So I got that when I was 19, and I never got into the health field for a long time afterwards, but I still kept that book. It's remarkable, I think, that kept me away from drugs and kept me, doing outdoor activities. And again, as an environmentalist, you get to do a lot of fun stuff outside.
Yeah. When you're not doing paperwork.
Yeah, well, there's other people who do the paperwork for you.
Okay, so to recap this conversation, I think it's because, like I was telling you, it's one thing that I've been wanting to do for a long time is at least, offer or to be able to have available and make it easy for people to get their labs done and to be able to do testing and stuff like that so they can find out. And yeah. the timing's great because I know we're, going to be building out or relaunching our coaching program with our coaches and stuff again. Now that we have our own tech team now, which is awesome, I can actually get stuff done. I can't even tell you. So what you're saying is, like, at least get tested. If you had at least once a year, some people in the beginning might need to do every 6 months. You have to make an investment. So having these, it's like if your car's not running right, it has to have some diagnostics run on it. So they know, it's this cylinder head needs replaced. You know, they know exactly where to go, what to do. And you just need somebody that knows how to look at it to kind of help you. But then you can put all this crap behind you because your life should not be this constant, ongoing pain in the ass process. I'm going through person after person and doctor after doctor and functional medicine, blah, 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 all these different people. And never really getting better or kind of getting better. And then something else happens, blah, blah. It's like you should take it should take some time to get healthy. Now, what people don't like hearing and what I've seen is that once you kind of unlock a few certain things and you change these changes in your lifestyle, that things can happen very quickly. But it usually takes about 2 to 3 years for you to get completely well. I mean, for the immune system to really ramp up. And this doesn't matter if you're an Olympic level athlete or you've got stage 4 cancer. If you start on that healing path, it's a 2 to 3 year process before the body's finally really strong. As long as you kept that environment and you kept that new lifestyle and you kept your, you became a stressless person, you knew how to respond to your stress better, you getting your detoxing, your lifestyle's detox, you stop putting all these toxins in, Glade air fresheners, dairy products, cereals, all this, this cheeses and crap like that, that's all processed. And then you started flooding your body with the proper nutrition for your body. And after a period of time, then you can really, now you've built up strong. So to get to that point, you have to, why waste time? To have all the testing and get it done and then get to work, get busy on the lifestyle. Even you at 19, you had that book, you made some changes. You took different paths because of the information you had because of what was in that book. And it's benefited you because there was no real benefit from drinking except for some stories, the half of the stories that you can remember with your buddies. That's about it.
Yeah, I say I don't drink to excess unless I have a really good reason.
Yeah.
Hey, so I have a place. Actually, what we'd like to do is invite our listeners to go to take a free workshop. So it's not a big, long or complicated thing. And if they want, they could go to, it's called fdntraining.com/healthhero.
Okay.
fdntraining.com/healthhero. So, I came up with functional diagnostic nutrition. to name our methodology, but it took me 10 years. And I didn't even have a name for it until I had to teach my first workshop. And I needed a name, and I just came up with that one. It sounded good at the time, and now I'm kind of stuck with it. But it's very functional. It's about how you're functioning, every function in your body, every cell, tissue, and everything like that. So you need to know about function. It's also very foundational. That would be good for the F. So F, and then D is diagnostic, functional diagnostic nutrition. And it's not diagnostic as a medical diagnosis. You mentioned, hey, you take your car in, they tell you it's the top right cylinder or something like that. So you you get diagnostics. It's diagnostic in nature of what's really wrong. Or it could also be just data. So it's just data. It's just getting information. Yeah. You know, so functional FDN is nutrition or nurturing, because there's all kinds of ways to nurture and give nutrition to your body in just different ways, your body, mental, emotional, and all these sorts of things. So FDN, we're known around the world now as FDN. There's FDN practitioners. They love being FDN practitioners. We hang out together. The alumni community is very strong, very robust, and but you got to get through the course. So if you just want a taste of it, and actually give you something useful for your daily life, fdntraining.com/healthhero. Sign up for that, you know, system, just a workshop, and we'll see you on the other side.
Yeah, and then if people want to take it further and become certified, they can. And it's not for the faint of heart. I mean, it's not like 10 years, but it's about 10 months, and people can go faster if they want to, because it's a self-directed course. You know, you unlock the courses as you go. And so that's good. Yeah, and I'm really appreciative that you came on. I feel like everything that you've done has come from a very heartfelt spot. Obviously, you've got practitioners, thousands of them you've helped to help their clients and build successful practices, because you help them on the business end of things too, not just like, well, here's what you do, and then, you know, leave them for... They got to figure out.
It's not that easy. The first course I ever taught, those people weren't going anywhere. And I thought, okay, go forth. Do what I taught you, you know, and it wasn't happening. People want to know more, and they want to hang out with like-minded people. So that's where the community developed from the first course I ever taught. Yeah, and now it's
just it helps them get off of all that fear. It's the fear that's holding them back. Just keep, go do this, go do that. Nope. And then after a while, like, oh, shit, I could have done this myself. Like,
oh, yeah. It's all that, and continuing education, sharing success stories, also getting motivated, and all that comes out of it, too.
And learning. Well, thank you, Reed.
You're welcome.
Guys, this has been Reed Davis, a founder of the Functional Diagnostic Nutrition Certification Course, and his community. And so, I'm really happy that he was able to come on today and share with us. And for those of you that have been struggling and you don't know what's going on, you know, we've been dealing with the same thing over here with our coaches and myself coaching people. It's like we try to get the basic fundamentals. And I look at myself like a general contractor of health. Like, I ain't a doctor. I don't prescribe, diagnose, nothing. I just look, it's like I help people put together their team. All the local people. And I'm telling you, like, one of the things that's important is getting your diagnostics, getting that data, because your body is a system. It's a machine. So you need to know kind of what's off, get a little guidance there, and then you'll be off and running, building your new lifestyle. And at the end of the day, it's up to you. Stop outsourcing your life, whether it be your health, your relationships, your all this stuff. Stop outsourcing it. Grab it, take it inside, and say, if it's up to me, it's up to me. I'm going to learn it. I got a brain. I can figure this out, and I've got other people that can love and support me, and there's groups like ours at chemicalfreebody.com and over with Reed Davis and his group that would love to help you. So, and thank you so much for tuning in. And if you guys like the show, please like, share, and subscribe to all that stuff, to our podcast, and check out other previous episodes. We have a ton of content here. It's all free. And until next time, change yourself, change your world, and I'll see you guys again soon. Bye for now.